Lord says there's a fresh awakening happening over the land. The disillusioned, the brokenhearted, who've been hiding and shying away from the things of God, are called out into the sunshine of His presence and into His love. Because it's a new day over this land, the Lord says. An awakening and a refreshing, yes, and a life-giving spirit sweeping over this place. Breaking disillusionment, binding up the brokenhearted, healing the bruised, setting captives free. Because it is a new day over this land, the Lord says. And He's calling you to enter into that. And let the past not rob you of the amazing future that the Lord is bringing to you by the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit that gives life. It's a new day over this land. It's a new day over this land. Say it with me. It's a new day over this land. Oh, Lord Jesus. We say yes to You. We will have it, Lord God. We open our hearts. We open our lives to You. Come with Your mighty presence, O Lord. We who are but dust and ashes, we lift our voices and we open our hearts to worship You and call You blessed. To love You, Lord God, and return to You the love that You have so poured into our heart. Wow, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's right, lift your face to Him. Tell Him you love Him tonight. Well, a number of you raised your hands and said, we've been to Toronto. How many of, let me just see again from the front. Look at all these people, Carol. Just stand up if you've been and visited us at one time or another over there. My goodness, there's a lot of you. Well, very good. Well, you're aware as we are, it's a very long way, isn't it? It's a very, very long way away. And we've had lots of Kiwis come, and you guys are representative of some of them. And I want you to know that revival is still full on. Still full on. I think many of you have heard the story in 94, after, you know, a few wonderful events leading up to it, not the least of which was a trip to Argentina where Carol and I got really royally touched by the Holy Spirit. We came home and invited Randy Clark, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the meeting. And it was a meeting not quite this size. It was maybe a room about this big. How many does it seat here, Pastor? About 400. So we could squeeze 400 in our auditorium, but there was only about 120 or 30 that day. But what happened was when Randy gave an invitation for whoever wanted more of the Holy Spirit, people made a move to get out of their seats. You know, they just started to move. And right at that moment, heaven opened. And I learned what it meant when it talks about the Spirit fell upon them. He fell upon us. And everybody was all over the place. They just couldn't move. And we didn't have a theology for it, really. We always thought the Holy Spirit would never do anything that would override a person's will. I don't know where we got that from. If you've read the Bible, you'll see it all the time, you know. But that was where we were, and we were in shock. We knew it was God, but we didn't know what to make of it. And it just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so when Toronto became such a gathering place for people over the nations of the world, came and still come to this day for our conferences and on. But we've had over 4 million visitors. And that's when I quit counting several years ago. But it's probably 4.5 million by now, I suppose. And it was just heaven on earth all of those times, as these folks would testify. But what's happened now is the nations who have come have gone back home, and now they're longing and desiring to see revival in their cities and in their churches and in their nation. And let me just add this. We've tried everything under the sun to grow churches and bring revival, except letting the Holy Spirit have His way. The only thing that really works, we haven't tried, because it takes us out of our comfort zone. And we feel it's disorderly, and we feel out of control, and we feel all of that stuff, and people criticize, and so on and so on. But I'm telling you, revival will never come unless the Holy Spirit is allowed to move and have His way in the land. And that means you getting filled up with Him and then carrying it to your friends and your workmates and the people that are around you. And so we have a journey to go on, don't we? There's an upward journey into the presence of the Lord. There's an inward journey where He wants to heal up the woundedness and the brokenness and the disillusionment and the pain and the shame and all the rest of it in there. And then there's an outward journey where He wants you to be a carrier of His glory, bringing signs, miracles, and wonders and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to the people that live around you. So that's where it's going. And we are, as far as the revival from Toronto is concerned, it is now in the scattering phase. It is being scattered to the ends of the earth. So you don't have to come to Toronto anymore. It's everywhere. And I know that our Catch the Fire soaking centers, I'll say a bit about that in a minute, but they are in, I think, 70 nations. Am I right about that? 70 or 72 nations. We have active soaking centers. Carol says 78 nations of the world and growing all the time. And some of them are closed nations. You know, it's Muslim nations. I love that, don't you? Imagine having a clandestine soaking little house church somewhere hidden away in Saudi Arabia or somewhere. It just amazes me. But they're there because people all over the world are now hungry for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why you've come, isn't it? God bless you all. This is a wonderful turnout. My only regret is that we're only doing one night here. Carol and I, we don't do a one-night, one-off meetings all that well, I don't think, because we like to connect at a heart level with people. And yet, we've just got one night here, so we'll have to come back, I think. We will. But as I was just thinking about the fact that we've had over 4 million people visit our church, that would be like every person in New Zealand visiting your church, wouldn't it? I mean, it's mind-blowing, really, isn't it? And that's what happens when the Spirit of God moves. Because people are hungry for God. And I figured this out a long time ago. Two very, very simple things. Number one, people want God. They don't want religion. They don't want a whole bunch of rules and regulations and a whole lot of stuff, but they want God. Isn't that true? How many here want God? Some of you do. How many here want God in your life powerfully? Well, the good news is God also wants people. He just loves people. He loves His people. And He wants you to be filled with all of the fullness of God. That's his desire for you. Here's something the Lord spoke to me last week. And he said to me, and he said to tell others, you're at your best when you're full of the Holy Spirit. That's when you're at your very best. When you're full of the Holy Spirit. At your very best when you're full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, isn't he good? We have an opportunity to go and do one of our leader schools in, I can't even pronounce the name. It starts with a K and it's in Siberia. And it's because when we did one in the Ukraine last summer, a guy came all the way across Russia through about 6 time zones to where the meeting was. And he was so impacted, he begged us and said, will you please come to my city? And we said, okay, yes, we will. I think it's the Lord. And so we're going to be going over there, myself and Dan Slade and a couple of others, in the month of June. And it's a very long way from Toronto, obviously. But I would love it if you guys would sow into ministry in Siberia. Now, where this place is right in the border of China and the part of Russia that's almost to North Korea, kind of in that place. So it's right over there. So the way we're going to get there is fly to Japan first and then up, as far as I know, either that or Peking. But it's a long way to go. But when you sow, I want you to know tonight that you're sowing into good soil. The soil is as good as I know how to prepare soil. And soil that produces fruit and the fruit of revival and fruit that remains. And I think it's good for us when we give in an offering, if we have an expectation that not only are we giving, but we're also sowing and planting seed so that it will be returned unto us manifold, many times over. That's only reasonable. That's your faith. You know, no farmer. How many farmers here? Have we got any farmers? Any of you? How many gardeners here? You have a garden at least? Anybody? See, you don't just plant a seed in the ground and expect maybe one seed, maybe or two. Maybe you double what you plant. There's always an abundance, isn't there? And so when you sow into the kingdom of God, and here's what I find works for me. I don't give to get, but I want to give generously, and I want to give with a giving heart because I realize something very, very important, and that's this. God does not need my money nor yours. Are you aware of that? He doesn't need your money. He owns the whole universe. And planet Earth is pathetically small compared to everything else. It's like a micro dot compared to the rest of it. So why does he ask us to give then? And why did Jesus commend people when they gave? And one widow gave everything she had and he commended her and took note of it. And Mary gave all of her life savings in terms of the alabaster jar of nard that she had that was worth a fortune. She gave it all. And he noticed that and said, that story will be told throughout the world. He likes it because he's trying to convince us in our hearts that if we become givers, now we're becoming just like him. We're becoming like our Heavenly Father, who is the greatest giver of all, by the way. He gave his son. Can you imagine that? What a gift that was. And so God wants you and I to learn to be givers. And it's according to your faith. And so some people can give a lot, some can just give a little. But I want you to give tonight with an expectation that your heart is going to grow to be like your Heavenly Father's heart, where you become one who loves to give. And when you realize that God wants you to give because, first of all, your heart learns to be a giver, but secondly, you become someone who is partnering with him in fruitfulness and in the harvest. And so you therefore share in the harvest, both here and in the world to come. And so it's a very, very good thing. And I know a lot of people are discouraged with tithing and with giving because they feel like over the years they've been manipulated by church leaders and pastors and others, and they just can't do that anymore, or they can't afford to give and all the rest of it. And I think a lot of us have come through that. When I married Carol, I was in that place too, and she says, "Oh no, we're tithing." And I'm like, "Ah, we can't afford to right now." And she's like, "We can't afford not to." And so we started sowing what we felt we couldn't afford, but we were doing it faithfully. And the Lord taught us that He honors faithfulness. And I hope you've learned that. And God doesn't need your money. Just tell your friend, God doesn't need your money. If you can't give freely and give joyfully, hang on to it, because it won't be blessed anyhow if it's extracted from you. But when you learn to give because you want to be a giver like Him, I tell you, blessing settles down upon it, and God will multiply it. And so we're going to take what you give tonight and, among other things, get ourselves over there to the far side of Russia and Siberia and just bring the kingdom of God to those hungry, hungry, poor, disillusioned people who are just so needy. And so that's one of the things we're going to be doing with this. So let's just bow in prayer, shall we? Father, I thank You that Your mercy does endure forever. And You have promised there will always be enough, and not just enough, but there will be an abundance. And I ask You to teach someone tonight in this place that You love a cheerful giver because You're now able to bless them and cause them to enter in to Your inheritance. And so speak to us, Lord, about what You'd have us give tonight in Jesus' name. We're so excited about what You're doing here and all over the world. And we want New Zealand to come into the full-on revival fire of Your presence in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a shout and say, there we are. All right. Okay. I want to mention a couple of other things. One is an opportunity to get involved with us in Catch the Fire Ministries. Is there anyone here who leads one of our soaking prayer centers? Somewhere. Hands up. I know David and Rhonda do, but there's a lady back here. Yeah? Yes. Very good. Anyone else? Yeah? A couple back here. Very good. And someone over here. Oh, I'd love you guys to meet up with David and Lindley and Stuart, if you could, just to touch base and say hello. That would be great. But David tells me there are 30 to 35 active soaking prayer centers in New Zealand right now. And there's about 120 or so in Australia. 148 altogether, including, so there's 100 or so in Australia, isn't there? And what they are is little centers where people can gather, say in your home, and invite the Holy Spirit to come. And the qualifications to get in to start one of these are simply that you want to do something for the Lord. And we decided, you know, we're going to train people after the fact. And so these are people who have partnered with us with Catch the Fire Ministries. They bought one of our soaking kits, which looks something like this. Here's an open one. But how many have heard it said, you can't put God in a box? Right? Well, we thought we'd have a go anyway. So we put anointed videotapes in here and a manual and everything and basically said, hey, invite your friends over. Put some good music on, tell everybody to lie on the floor, and somebody say, come, Holy Spirit, and He comes right there in your home where two or three are met together in His name. And so that is a wonderful opportunity, and I wish I could, you know, have a couple more nights to say something more about that, but I really see it as a part of the solution. Do you know there are people in your country who are turned off with church and they won't even go anymore? Has there anybody here ever been hurt in church besides me? Well, bless God, you're coming anyway still. I mean, you just have to get over it, don't you? And forgive and move on. But there are people who won't, but they would come to your home. And there's others that say, we can't find the river anywhere. We can't find a place where the fire of God is moving. What do we do? And I look at them and I say, then start a meeting where the fire of God is. Don't do without it. The Holy Spirit is up for it. Just begin something right where you are. And so we have this Soaking Center network where we've sold, I don't know, about 8,000 or more of those kits. I think it's closer to 9 now. And we have over 800 active soaking centers in 75 or 78 different nations of the world. And these are little churches. Some of them are in churches. We have a lady in California who keeps starting them in Anglican churches, Episcopalian churches. And they love it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit comes. And so it's in churches or in various schools or institutions. We have one of them, up until it was decommissioned, was on a U.S. aircraft carrier, which I thought was pretty cool. And we went to that one by an invitation of the captain, and we got to soak in the soaking center on the U.S. JFK, whatever it is, the aircraft carrier JFK. It was amazing. And so people all over the world are getting on to the idea that you don't have to do without the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you here would think, you know what, I'd be interested in learning more about something like that? Give me a show of hands. I'd be interested in a show of hands there. Look at all these people, Lindley. Can you just, folks, just stand up, and then I'll have Lindley and David and Stuart stand up so you'll know who you need to connect with at the end of the night. But here's what I'd like you to do. If you're serious about it, write your name, phone number, and email on a piece of paper. Will you do that for me? Say, I'd like to know more about that. Write your name and email address or your phone number on a little piece of paper. If I don't have any paper, then borrow one from somebody and write it down. I think it's very important. Why do I care? None of the money that's generated, if any, would leave New Zealand. It's all for national revival. That's why I care. I want to see the earth filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so you guys begin to network together and let the kingdom of God come. Build a network that honors the Holy Spirit's presence. Does anybody need a piece of paper that you want to do this and you don't have one? David, have you got any paper? There's a lady right there would love one. There's a man right here behind you. I'll get you one. Okay. And write out your name, print it out clearly. Name, email address, and phone number. That would be great. And then if you could do that, pass it into the end of the aisle so that one of the team could pick that up. Can you just write that out? Pass it to the end of the rows, and someone will get those from you. All right, let's do that. Wow, there's other opportunities we have with our World Changer partners. Oh, I wish I could take time to tell you about it, but we have a network of over 1,000 of these people now that are saying, John and Carol, we're going to work with you guys and contribute to Catch the Fire because we want to see, once again, the earth filled. We just took a team of them to South Africa. They went to Heidi Baker's and Roland's ministry. Then they went to Kruger Park for a while, and then they came and took a one-week leader's school. It was life-changing for about 30 people who are World Changer partners with us. So it's not just partner with us and send money, like $25 a month or something, but it's more than that. It's we want to train you with our equipping schools and all that we do through the web and all the rest of it so that you can get activated in ministry to see your nation come to the Lord. Now, I have one more question for you. Lindley, can you just see if on this side if there's any... If you have a piece of paper like that with someone's email on it, just raise your hand and there's a guy right here. Yeah. Yeah, just pick them up. There's a bunch at the back over there too. That's great, everybody. Thank you for doing that. There's several at the back over there. Just pick those up, sure. We will put these out on as you leave, but I had a form here for World Changer Partners, and what this gives you is you get our internet library completely included in the gift, a monthly gift that you give to our ministry. And I feel awkward even talking about this because I've just met you guys, you know. But there may be some of you here that know us well enough that you would understand our heart in it. But I'll leave these out at the door at the back table. So anybody who would like one of these things, this is, or you could pray about it. This is help Catch the Fire Ministries keep going, be a world changer partner with us. I want to just say one more thing to you, and that is one of the most effective equipping ministry tools that we do out of Toronto is called our Leader Schools for Ministry. And they're a week long, 5 days, Monday to Friday. They're very intense, morning and afternoons, Monday to Friday. We just did one in Australia with about 250 or so people, and it was just off the chart wonderful. People had breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And I feel in my heart that that would be or could be or should be a next step for whatever we do in New Zealand. And I love the feel of it here in Hamilton because it feels like, in terms of the Northern Island at least, it's sort of central, isn't it? So how many of you would be interested in coming to a school like that if we were to have one here in New Zealand? Great. So there's loads of you are. All right then. Well, we're just going to be in prayer and see whether we couldn't fit one of those in sometime within the next 12 months or so. Wouldn't that be fun? We come in the off season. Yeah. All right, let's open our Bibles, shall we? I want to talk to you tonight about the kingdom of God. When Jesus is about to come on the scene, we have a shift in the emphasis of ministry. And we see John the Baptist introducing a whole new approach. And he began to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, repent is a good word, isn't it? How many like the word repent? Few of you do. How many like the word repent? It means to turn, change, go the other way. Let me just say something right here for a moment. Jesus did not come to the earth and die a horrible death on a cross because it would make a great movie. That's not why he did it. He did it because it was absolutely essential that something be done about your sin and mine. And there was an outstanding debt that we owed to the God of integrity, to the God of perfection, to the God of absolute love, whose heart was broken about tragedy after tragedy and crime upon crime and sin upon sin and disaster upon disaster. And the human race owed a collective debt that was impossible for any of us really to square the account and make it right with God. We were hopelessly lost. And Jesus came. God the Son became a man who went to the cross and died and paid our debt, if we will, by faith, put our trust in Him. But what I want you to see is that He didn't do it because it was, oh, a nice option, or He didn't do it for those who would like to be a little more spiritual than the rest. It was absolutely essential that He came and died on the cross for you. And so it's sin that separates us from God. The sins of adultery, the sins of fornication, the sins of occultism, the sins of idolatry, the sins of lying and cheating and stealing and all that stuff. And the book of Galatians chapter 5 says that those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's an outstanding debt. And God is saying, throughout your life, as I watch you, I get to figure out whether you want to be free or you want to be rotten. It's almost like the human race has cancer, isn't it? And He wants to cut that cancer out. And we need to just think for a minute where all of this is going. Do you know you're not going to live forever? How many here are under 25? 25 or less, let's see. All right, how about 35 or less? That'll get a few more. 35 or less. You know, when When you're 35 or less, you think you're going to live forever. And, you know, you'll do a couple of things. You'll have a career, and you'll go here and go there. And the next time you turn around, you're going to be 60-something, and you'll be wondering, how in the world did I get here? It's just gone like that. And life is very short, and we need to realize that. I can remember my dad saying that to me. Life's very short, boy. And I go, yeah, whatever. But boy, he was really right. It is short. And see, it's unto something, because God wants us in this life to prepare for what's coming next. And there's two things that are sure. Either your death or the coming of the Lord, whichever is first. And those are going to be awesome days in the life of every person. And on that day, you better know that your sins and your iniquities are to be remembered against you no more, because Jesus Christ has happily paid your debt. See, that's why he came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would just believe, you would never perish, but have eternal life. That's why I feel it's your time in this nation. You got to get over the fact that the church has failed you here and failed you there, and that leader let us down, and this, that, and the other has happened. Listen, it's time to get over that and say there are life and death issues facing our nation here. And there are life and death issues that are facing the world right here. And there is only one solution, and that is to be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ washing us free, and the Father's perfect integrity and righteousness is satisfied that his lovely Son paid our debt. And so now all we have to do is believe and say, Lord, do a work of grace in me. Clean me up. I want to be all that you have for me to be. And see, that's the beginning. And it may be you're here tonight, and you have never settled that issue with the Lord. It could be that there are people here that have never settled that issue. And if that's you, I beg of you, don't put this off another moment. You say, why not? Because it's too dangerous. What's too dangerous? That judgment that I'm talking about, that's just ahead of you. People say, well, I don't believe in judgment. I don't believe in hell. You know my answer to that? You will 5 seconds after you die. It's for sure. The Word of God makes it clear. You see, Jesus didn't come for nothing. He didn't come because it was a great story. He didn't come because it would make a great movie. He came that it was absolutely essential that something be done about your sin and mine. He came because he loved you and couldn't bear the fact that you could be lost forever, when God is such an amazing God of love. John 3:16, once again, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that if you will just believe, you'll never perish, but have everlasting life. And I love that he proves himself alive before us, don't you? All these people that were healed tonight, that's not Carol and I pulling some trick. That's the power of God proving that Jesus is alive, resurrected from the dead. That's what that is. And it's just going to get better and better and better. And it's not just for us to do, it's for all of us to do. That's what we want to learn, to do that. And we send our teams out now and say, pray for people, pray for the waitresses, pray for the hotel people, pray for everybody at work. You know, just on and on and on it goes. And I can tell you something else, a little secret here. Unbelievers will get healed almost easier than Christians will. It's amazing. And you can lead them right to Christ in the aftermath. But you need to settle that issue about your own heart. Let's just close our eyes and pray just for a moment about that. Father, I ask you to search our heart right now. And if there's folks here that are not right with you, their secret sin that the enemy is blackmailing them with, or there's issues in their heart where they're afraid of God, or they're not right with you, I ask you to speak to them right now. Convict them of their sin, Holy Spirit. Let the kingdom of God Visit them right here. Let the will of God be done in their life. People miss out on this for the strangest reasons. They think, well, there's too many hypocrites in the church, so I'm not being a Christian. How stupid. That's not going to get you very far on Judgment Day, is it? I got hurt in church, or my parents did this or that, or my family was so warped in all their legalism and everything. Listen, it's about the love of God. People have given up on Jesus, who once gave their life to him because they went after an education, or they went after a career, or they went after a relationship with somebody, only to lose their own soul in the exchange. Some of you feel like, well, I've been so bad, I'm hopelessly lost now, I might as well just forget it. No, you're the very one he came for. There's no such thing as a hopeless case with God. You're the very one he's looking for. If you're here tonight and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you want to get right with God, then tonight is your night. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to make a decision for Christ, to make a right decision for him. But you need to think it through, see, because where it begins is in your heart of hearts. It begins with you getting honest with God. Because we can all play the game and we can look like we're okay and we can say we're okay and we can talk like we're okay. But actually, you know in your heart of hearts whether you're okay or not. And all it costs you is to swallow your pride for a moment or two and say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the boss of my life. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to wash me and cleanse me and set me free. I want to join this great company of people worldwide, the blood washed, the believers in Jesus Christ. I want my heart to be surrendered to you. If that's you, I want you to make a decision right now. Okay, I'm not going to make excuses anymore. I'm not going to procrastinate about it. I'm not going to postpone it anymore. I'm going to make a decision. I need Jesus Christ in my life. You see, Jesus alone is God who came as a man. He's not just a good man, a good teacher, or a prophet. He's God who came in the flesh. That's why he could say, there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby you must be saved. Why? Because no archangel or any good person could die for the human race, but God himself in human form did exactly that. That's why Jesus Christ has to be who he claimed to be. He had to be everything he claimed to be, or he's none of what he claimed to be. And he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And it begins with you just saying, okay, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to be set free from my habits, from my shame, from my fear, my sicknesses. I want my life to count for something. I want to have a purpose in living and being here. If that's you, just acknowledge it and say, okay, I need you, because that's where it begins, right in your own heart. And as you acknowledge him, he starts to come into your heart. I'll just take another minute with this. If there's one person here that wants to surrender their life to Christ, it's worth the extra 10 minutes or whatever we take for this, for sure. You need to know, my friend, that God loves you. He's not mad at you. Doesn't hate you. He loves you. As I said, John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world. Yes, God so loved you that he gave his only son, so that if you will just believe, you see, there's nothing for you to do except believe that it's already all been done. Then you'll never perish, have eternal life. So just say it in your heart of hearts. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life tonight. Now, if you just told that to the Lord and you meant it because you've fallen away or you've never given your heart to him, I want you unashamedly, just hold your hand up high quickly so I can see it. Just quickly hold up your hand. You could be someone who's gone to church a lot, even. Bless you back there. Bless you over here. Anyone else? Just quickly. Hold up your hand. Please don't be ashamed of this either, by the way. The day I did this, I was so ashamed, I didn't want anybody to see me. Bless my grandfather. He leaned over to me and he said, if you're not sure, you better go. I was 15 years old at a Billy Graham meeting in Toronto, and I just ran down to the front. Don't be ashamed of this. This is the best day of your life. Anyone else? God bless you here. God bless you back there, over there. A couple of you are raising your hands. Could we all stand just for a moment? If you raised your hand for this wonderful appeal to surrender to Jesus, I want you to take one more brave step for me and move into the nearest aisle and come down to the front, because I would really love the privilege of praying with you. So just come quickly. Come on. Tell your friend, just excuse me, I want to get past. Come on, young man, come on. Come on, young man at the back there. Come on, quickly. Yeah, God bless you, young man. How old are you?
16.
I was 15 when I did exactly what you're doing. It was the best thing I ever did in my whole life. God bless you for this. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. Come on, sweetie. Come on, sir. Come on. Come on. Is there anyone else? Why don't you lean over to your friend and just say to them, if you're not sure, why don't you come on? I'll come with you. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer. And we're all going to pray it together. You pray it as a prayer of remembrance. But you, dear people who've come up for this, I want you to pray this with everything that's within your heart. Will you do that? And please don't be embarrassed. I want you to be happy. Can you make a decision? Boy, I'm doing the right thing tonight, and I'm happy about it, okay? Let's all say this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. And I admit that I have sinned. I've done a lot of things wrong. But I need you. I need help. I need a Savior. Have mercy upon me. Come into my heart right now. Wash me clean from all of my sins. Give me a new heart. From tonight on, I'm a Christian. You're my Savior. And I'm going to live for you. Thank you for loving me and for forgiving me. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. I receive it now. Amen. Lord, I thank you for every one of these dear people who have come. And I ask you to bless them. I ask you to love them to life. And all the hurt and all the abuse and all the shame and all the stuff that's come their way, just let them know once and for all, it was none of your doing. An enemy has done this to them. You came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Holy Spirit, we ask for abundant life on these dear ones. Abundant life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life. I want you all just to take a deep breath right here and say, wow, he's forgiven me. See, part of our heart says, wait, it's too easy. So it's too, it feels like I should be doing something. Yeah, well, that's the gospel, isn't it? There's not a thing in the world we can add to it. He has done it all, and we just receive and breathe it in. Father, thank you for these dear people. This precious man right here who needs you to come and set him free. I lift every bondage of fear and shame and pain off of him as Jesus Christ becomes his Savior, his Lord. Bless him right now in your name, O Lord. Amen. God bless you, sir. Pastor, I don't know if some of your ministry team could just spend a little more time with these folks, if you would do that. I want you guys to find a good church like this one where you can come and learn more. When you do that, yeah, and you can get set free and all kinds of good things will happen to you, right? What's your name, young man?
Oliver.
Do you have a good church, Oliver, where you can go? This one here. Good on you, mate. God bless you. How about you, young man? Chris?
Bruce.
Do you have a good church where you can connect in and, right, some godly friends and family around you that'll help out? It's the best, isn't it? Amen. Let's give these folks a great hand tonight. There we go. Just go and spend a few minutes with those folks over there. Oh, thank you for that, Lord. Right. John the Baptist announced that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what that means is God's kingdom is within reach. Put your hands up over your head a moment. Reach as high as you can, see? That's how close heaven is to you. God invading planet Earth. That was John's message. Hey, you're going away from God. Stop, turn around, go towards him, repent, because heaven is within reach. Then we see Jesus come to John the Baptist. Jesus is baptized. He identifies himself with a fallen human race. Imagine Jesus turning up at a sinner's baptismal meeting and saying, do me as well. Well, John is like, I need you to baptize me. Are you coming to me? He says, let it be, you know, so, John, let's fulfill all righteousness. I want to identify with a fallen human race. And down into the water he went. And what an event, the central event in Scripture where heaven opened and the Spirit descended and the Father spoke such loving affirmation. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus, the mountain of temptation, and then off into his ministry. And look what he's preaching. Chapter 4 of Matthew and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I want you to think about heaven just for a moment. How many want to go to heaven when you die? How many don't want to die? They just want the rapture and catch you right up and you go straight from earth to glory. I want to do that too. But I want to go to heaven in the end of all of this. Well, what's heaven like? See, there's no sickness there. There's no sin there. There's no bad shoulders. There's no, you know, sore knees. There's no injured necks and spines. There's no tumors. And there's no cancer. And there's no blood disease. Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place, isn't it? And when Jesus is saying, but heaven is within reach, he's talking about there is elements of the kingdom of God that are available to you in the here and now. So you don't have to wait. Because God's kingdom, even though it has always existed, and one day will be available in all of its fullness, it's now here in a measure. And so the kingdom of heaven is both now and not yet in all of its fullness. And Jesus was telling people, repent because the kingdom of heaven is within reach for you. And he did something different than John. He would announce the kingdom and then he would demonstrate the kingdom. The rule and reign of God, the power of God is actually invading sickness, disease, and sin. And it's interesting to me that Jesus treated sickness the very same way he treated demons, the very same way he treated sin. It was an enemy to him. Now that doesn't mean you walk through life with no problems, because there's lots of problems out there. But he himself was never sick in his body, ever, that we know of. And I believe that it's the will of God for us to not be sick in our body. And so you think, well, what do you do when you and Carol get something? We resist it and we pray against it and we go to the doctors if need be, because I fight it with every means that's available to me. But prayer is one of the best ones. And I believe that God wants me well, and I believe that the kingdom is here to strengthen me and heal me now. And we have to fight it and battle it the same as you do. I was about last July, I think. I was out in our back garden, and I lost my balance in the rocks at the back, and I almost fell over, but I managed to recover. But I damaged something in my foot. And I didn't know whether I broke something or not, but we were off on a trip, and I still haven't been to see about it. But meanwhile, as I'd go for a walk morning and evening, it got so sore and worse, and oh my gosh, Carol, pray for my foot, and pray for my foot. I'd pray for it. We'd reach up, put holy oil on it. We did everything we knew how to do, and it was still not right. And then last week in Australia, I had my friend David. I said, David, you're fresh. Pray for my foot, will you? It's killing me here. And he began to pray, and you know what? I suddenly began to feel that tingling presence of the Holy Spirit flowing into my foot. And it got about 80% better right away. And by a day or two later, it was like 90%, and it's like 90 to 95% better right now. And I know that God's going to just take it right the way through. But it's a miracle whenever that happens. And it's because I know that it's his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And so it's for sickness, and it's for disease, and it's for sin. The kingdom of God wants to come and bring freedom in your life. And that was the message of Jesus. Well, it didn't stop there, did it? He very quickly began to give that message away to the others. And we can read about that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and Luke chapter 9, verse 1, where he called the 12 disciples unto himself and gave them power and authority and sent them out to what? Preach the good news of the kingdom. Go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. Maybe we should read that verse. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 together, shall we? Matthew 10. Verse 1 says, when he had called his 12, he gave them power. Actually, the word is exousia in Greek. He gave them authority. But if you read it in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Luke says he gave them power and authority, exousia and dunamis. Amazing. I wonder what that looked like. Just think for a moment. Jesus gave the 12 guys power and authority. I wonder what that looked like. Do you think they just stood there and said, well, I'm just going to take it by faith. I don't feel anything. Do you, Peter? No, I don't. But, you know, he said he's given it to me, so I'll have it. I don't think that happened. I think they got blasted by the Holy Spirit. I imagine it took them hours to recover from that prayer. But after they recovered, in verse 7 there, he sent them out. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have received, freely give. And it went to the 12. And then in Luke chapter 10, 70 others. And pretty soon 120. Then more than 500 brethren. And then on and on and on. And what we see is the known world, the Greek and Roman world, being overtaken by the kingdom of God at the hands of ordinary people like you. Those people were farmers and fishermen and housewives, and some were slaves, and most of them were poor, and they just found out that the Jewish God was the true God. Can you imagine if you'd told the Roman emperor that in a couple of hundred years, his entire empire would turn away from the gods of Greece and Rome and serve the Jewish God? That would be like going into Mecca and getting up on the Black Rock and saying, hey, I have an announcement for you. In about 50 years or less, all the Muslim world is going to turn away from worshiping Allah and you're going to worship the Jewish God. How would that go over? Like a lead balloon, wouldn't it? Well, it would have been the same to Caesar in Rome. But see, that's exactly what happened. As ordinary people caught an understanding of the invasion of the kingdom of God. That kingdom that is coming to earth, entering into you. And so it's in you, it's upon you, and it's for you to carry to the people and the broken lives that are on either side of and everywhere around you. The kingdom of God is the answer to the world's problem. Now, one last comment. The kingdom comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell your friend, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do something within you and then through you. And he comes in you for you and on you for others. And he wants to bring the rule and reign of God, the integrity of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. And he wants to bring it to you. And here's what we tell our people. If you had to choose between giftedness and character and integrity, always choose the character and the integrity. Because aren't we tired of Christians and Christian leaders who are preaching one thing but living another? So we want integrity. But see, you don't have to choose. Because God is saying, I want you to have both. I want you to have me in you. I want the character of God in you. No, when we read scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, we begin to see what the character of God is like. Love is kind. Love is pure. Love doesn't puff itself up, doesn't vaunt itself. It's always preferring others. On and on and on. Those are character issues in the heart. But that in itself is not enough. It needs to be given out to the people all around us. And so the message of today for New Zealand is that you, dear Christian, are called to be a carrier and a bringer of the kingdom of God. Have a look at your hands tonight. Aren't they wonderful? Don't you love your hands? These are the hands of deliverance for your nation right there. As you lay them on the sick will be healed in the name of Jesus. How do you know? You start doing it and you find out. That's how you know. You say, will everybody be healed? I doubt it, but maybe. But a lot of people will be. And those that don't will at least appreciate that you prayed for them. By the way, please don't blame them and say you weren't healed because you have no faith or something, will you? Let people respond to the great love of God. But have a look at those hands of yours. Through these hands, your nation will be delivered from fear, from shame, from all sin, from all pain, from all those problems, as you, dear Christian, are equipped and your pastor starts coaching you in the things of the Spirit, training you to get out there wherever you are and begin to give away the kingdom of God. Now, I wish I had more time to really develop that message, but I'll just give you a little taste of it. But it comes through the anointing. We want to pray that you all receive an anointing tonight. How many would like more of God? Yeah.